بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, there was a person who was known for his bad habit of drinking. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh was an imam of the time, leading muhaddis and an imam of fiqh, an attraction for the world. This person had come and sat in the majlis of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Because of his notorious habits, Imam Sa'd rahmatullah alayh was not pleased with him. Anyway, he also made out that Imam Sa'd rahmatullah alayh is displeased with him for some reason. So he called on Imam Ahmad Sa'd rahmatullah alayh and he says, "I want to relate something to you." So because this came as something strange, Imam Sa'd rahmatullah alayh allowed him to explain himself. Says, "I have seen Rasulullah Pak Sassam in my dream, and there's a big crowd of people around, and one person Rasulullah Pak Sassam called him and spoke to him. So I was longing that Rasulullah Pak Sassam calls my name as well and makes dua for me. In that I was very embarrassed, very ashamed of myself as well. But I had the desire that Nabi Sam calls me as well." Anyway, it wasn't very long after that that Nabi Sam had called for me. So I got up and Nabi Sam called me by name and thereafter said that, "I love you. And the reason why I love you is that you speak good about my Sahaba. You think good about them. You speak good about them. You don't revile them. You don't insult them." Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh was very much impressed at this. And he asked his people to record this incident. Al-Mu'at Thami sahab rahmatullah says that you can write one thing in gold. That Your deeni preservation is in proportion to the respect that you show to the former leaders of deen, imams of deen, the mustahideen, the muhaddiseen, the mashayikh and sufiya ikiram. So all those people that were largely responsible to pass on deen to us, we show a lot of respect, a lot of regards to them. Within their ranks, they could have had mistakes. We do not say that they are malaika and farishta, but we don't view them from that perspective. We view them from a different perspective, the perspective that they had passed on deen to us. Like our fathers may be wrong at times. Someone has got some bad habit, right? But if someone picks out the father, then you come up in arms against him. Okay, whatever it is, it doesn't give you the license to speak out against my parents. Right? Be it as it may, and it may be even worse than what you think about my father, but I don't allow you to speak out against him. That's personal. So these people that have preserved deen, have passed on deen, right, it's not important that you follow each one of them, and that's perhaps impossible, because there could have been contradictory views. One's got one view, and the other has got another view. But this goes without saying that we have to respect them all equally. When I say respect them all equally, even they, when they used to conduct themselves, they would respect their seniors. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, someone had asked him about Alqama and Aswad. And perhaps Imam Sabr rahmatullahi alayhi may have met them in the very tail end of their lives. Perhaps he may have met them. So someone asked that who is better, Alqama or Aswad? Because Alqama and Aswad are great tabi'i, and all took a great benefit from them, being the students of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So people used to take from them and draw from them very largely. So someone in passing asked, and who is superior from both? So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah's reply was that forget who is superior and who is greater. I don't find myself in a position even to take the names. They are so great. So you see this respect and this regards for the senior, for those that were senior in you, senior to you in deen. Even they had it. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, when he comes to the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he comes to that vicinity. So for those days that he is there, then he leaves out saying Ameen aloud. He leaves out raising his hands like the Shafis would do. He left out the kunut like is recited in the Fajr where the Shafi'is, he left it out. Ihtiraman li sahib al qabr, out of respect for the person of the grave. Although he's got a contradictory view. Now today he's here and respect demands that today he must just grant some type of importance and some respect to the view of the one that he feels that is greater than him. See? Or he had derived benefit from, though it may not be directly, indirectly, from the student of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, he must have derived something. So the respect requires, the consideration requires, the today that I am in his presence, and how do I conduct myself today. So I have this view here, and he has a contradictory view. And wahi doesn't come to me. When wahi doesn't come to me, it is likely that what he is saying is right. When there is the possibility of him being right, today let's practice upon what he has to say. It's not a matter of faraz, it's not a matter of wajib that it will nullify the namaz, but the respect requires that let me prefer his view for the day that I am here. So this aspect of respect, as Mullah says, you want to secure your deen, then the deen will be secure in proportion to the respect of the self, all the past. And to the extent that you will show them respect, your deen becomes secure. But the moment you begin to criticize them, you look out for their faults, their weaknesses, then your deen will collapse by the way. So they will have their differences within themselves, but that is no license for us to show any type of disregard and disrespect towards them. Like in the old days we had differences, then recently also we have differences. One person wrote up to us, Mawlana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, around the 1930s, 1940s. He says in Dioban there is some ikhtilaf, and you know I'm very hurt at this, because I had held these ulama kiram in respect. I had been holding this ulama in great respect, and now they have got differences within themselves, within the camp there is a difference. Now what do I do? So Mawlana's reply to him was, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, you have done much for the goodness of yourself, for your goodness, for the goodness of your deen. You have done a lot of effort, a lot of striving to improve your deen. So may Allah Ta'ala grant you even more and allow you to continue that way. As far as these differences are concerned, then you don't have to be aligning yourself to any of the two parties that are conflicting with each other. Either conflicting, there's some conflicting views. He's got one view and he's got another view. So it is not essential for you to align yourself to any of the two groups. So you just remain away from them. You don't have to align yourself to this view. You don't have to align yourself to that party. You don't have to align yourself to anybody. You respect them like you used to respect them, but you don't have to align yourself to any of them. Right? And number three, he says, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak is not going to hold you answerable for their differences. At the surface, you just show respect, but enough. You don't have to align yourself to this view. You don't have to align yourself to that view. You don't have to think, now why have they got differences within themselves? That's not your business. Right? Allah Ta'ala will not hold you responsible for that. So you do your work, let them continue with their work. Now, people, when we talk to them in this way, then they say, but people are talking about this, what should we do? So, the simple answer for that is, but since when did you assume responsibility for the whole world? You didn't assume responsibility for the world. So they are differing, let them carry on. You don't get involved into this. It's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have one opinion, the opinion you feel is right, or the alim that you feel inclined towards, you continue with him. And besides that, in this type of conflicts and differences, you don't get involved, don't get entangled into this. Hazrat Muawiyah Thani Sahib Rahmatullah had come to Sahanpur to meet Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So whilst he was there, there was a person that came up with an achkan, you know, that you have that long coat ulama used to wear before. Over the kurta they used to wear, and long coat, they call it achkan, they call it sherwani. So he seemed like to be like a very educated person. For that zamana, like educated person in the circular line, he seemed to be someone very educated. So he came up to Molana and he says to Molana that there is a big difference of opinion going on, you know, there's a big lot of difference going on about the best is ever. And it's not right that people must speak against the ulama-i kiram. So I want to arrange one big conference. In that conference, you can clear all those doubts and suspicions people have, the allegations that they have made against the masail that are in the best is ever. Then I want to get them all cleared in this conference. The masla was about a person marrying a woman from the east. He is living in the west, and the wife is living in the west. He's in the east and she's in the west. And there's such a big distance, it will take at least, say, 3 or 4 months or 5 months to cover in that zaman you're talking of. And this woman, now, she falls pregnant and she claims that it is the husband's child, and the husband also says it's my child. Whereas they haven't met each other for over 5-6 months. And this woman says that this is my child. Right? Husband doesn't deny the fact. So this child will be called, this child will be a legitimate child. Right? Just to digress a little bit, get you a little bit awake. You know, you get people that are a little bit dense in their brains, like how you get fundamentals. So everywhere you have, every community you have. So one person, originally from India, Pakistan, and he had moved on to England. He's there for the last 2 years, no children he had. His wife is in Pakistan, he is in England. So he received an email that his wife became widowed. And he's crying, hey, my wife became widowed. So they told him, but you're alive. How can she become widowed when you're alive? So, yeah, I thought about it, but the person that's writing, he's very truthful. So you get all these type of cases in this world. So that was the masla. And the masla revolves around one statement. It said, Nahnu nu'minu bi karamatil awliya. We do believe in the karamat of the awliya. Perhaps through some miracle, this person must have moved from the east to the west, and they must have consummated the marriage, and this child was born. It was conceived. She was conceived, and the child was born. So people made a big noise about it. And this person that comes in, he walks in like a gentleman. Gentleman means like a educated person. You know, like someone is educated in the circular. So people are making a lot of allegations, and they're insulting, they're disgracing, they're defaming ulama-i-kiram. So I want to arrange a big conference and clear up his names, you know. So Mullah told him, all right, you want to know the proof for this reason, the proof for this masla, right? He wants to know the proof for this masla in particular. So Mullah asked him, all right, you want to know the proof for this? Tell me that there are approximately 2,000 maslas in Bastis ever, right? Maybe a little more. 2,000 masail. Right? The 2,000 masail that are there recorded, do you know all the proofs of every masla? He says, no, I don't know the proofs. Well, I said that if he said that I know the proofs of every masla, then I would have asked him in detail. What is the proof for this? What is the proof for this? What is the proof for this? He says, no, I don't know the proofs for it. So, all right, you didn't know the proofs for these masail, but yet did you accept them? Saying, I did accept them. So why did you accept them? So the ulama said. So ulama said, all right, on the same basis, if anybody asks you, then you tell them that the ulama said this, therefore I am accepting it. Just add that, include that into that same list of the masail that you accepted without understanding the proof. Just include that. So he says to Mullah, but you know, if you tell me, then at least I'll get better understanding. So Mullah told him, see, you're making a request, isn't it? But my opinion is that you shouldn't be knowing the reason. You feel that you should know the reason, and my opinion is that you should know the reason. So he went on insisting. So Mullah asked him, see, are you set as a police over me to see and ensure that I do things in your conformity? He said, no. He said, well, this sitting is ended now. You go your direction and I go my way. You're not sent upon me that you are responsible to see that I do it in this way. So you're not responsible for me. You move on, I'll move on. Once the police are on the way, thank Maulana Thanvir Hamdai, he says, this person has been eating my brains for the last 3 days. And in 2 minutes, you wrapped him up. But so beautifully, Maulana wrapped him up and sent him away. That when there's so many masail, and all those masail, you don't know the proofs of. When you don't know the proofs of it, you didn't bother to go and find out the proofs. So then, just include this also in the list of those masail whose proofs you don't know. End of the story, kalas. Then the next day, another person came. He came and he says, yeah, they're speaking out against the ulama-i-kiram, you know. So they must have a conference. Clear their names, you know. So Murad told him, all right, how we should arrange it is, you see these people that condemn and they speak against ulama and elders, this business is not from now, it's business from long. And it's not only against the ulama that they speak. Some people speak against the ulama. Then there are those that speak against the imams, the imams of fiqh, right? Then there are those that speak against the sahaba kiram. Then there are those that speak against the anbiya alayhi salam. And then there is a group that speaks against Allah Ta'ala, the atheists, right? So there's about six categories: against ulama, against imams, against sahaba kiram, against anbiya alayhi salam. Then you get against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people that are against Allah Ta'ala as well. So the right thing is to do the conference in that tartib, you know, in one sequence. First we start off from above, the against Allah Ta'ala, so make a conference, all the problems and all the objections they've got against Allah Ta'ala, then you iron them out completely. Then after that, then the Anbiya alayhi salam, all the objections, all the criticism that they have leveled against Anbiya, then you iron that out. Then after that, the Sahaba Ikiram. Then after that, the I'imma. And after that, then the Ulama Ikiram. Then I promise you, inshallah, at that conference, I will attend that. But you do it in this tartib. So now, many people, unko kuch kaam karna hai nahi. They don't want to do any work. But this this job of criticism, right? This business of criticism is very easy. I run him down, you run this person down. It's very easy, very cheap, simple to do. Just pass the time. Pick one personality and just run him down. Pick another personality, just pick him down. Pick him and take and, you know, run him down the gutters. So that's an easy thing, a simple thing. So to be active in work, they don't want to do that. You know, they say in this 1857, when they had that ghadar, the mutiny. So there were a lot of corpses all lying around. So from amongst the corpses, one corpse spoke. One Banya was going past, and these Banyas, they are money dealers. The whole business is money dealing. So money lending, that is their business. So one of the corpses spoke out, and he says, "Arey Lalaji," the Banya, they call them Lalaji, you see. "Arey Lalaji, zara idhar aao." Now the Lalaji got scared because the corpse is speaking. He got ghabrat now. And he began to pick the speed. So this person is telling him again, "Lalaji, main tujhi ko keh raha hoon. Mere batwe mein sone ke sikke rakhe hain. Lalaji, you know what? I got some gold coins, got Kruger coins." And so Lalaji got scared also, but then the mouth watering as well. Okay, there's a dying man now. This now someone else grabs it. Why don't I grab it? So he went, frightened also, but he went right near the corpse. So the corpse, the man that was dying, he pulled out his sword and he struck it at this person's feet very, very severely, broke the both feet. Lalaji dropped. So the Lalaji is saying, "But hey, what you did to me?" So you see, now it's towards the evening, right? And all these cops are lying around me. And for me to pass the night all alone, all these cops is going to be difficult. I needed some company to pass the night at least. You know, I'll talk to you. You'll talk to me. And by the way, Lalaji, where did you hear that someone goes to war and he has hundreds of gold coins in his wallet? Where did you hear that? How stupid can you be? So Lalaji got angry. He says, "Mukka mukka," some Hindi word he said. "Na khud chalte na kisi ko chalne dete." You don't move and you don't allow any others to move. So this is our condition. We don't move. And those that are moving, then we don't allow them to move. We don't work ourselves. And those that are working and striving, we don't allow them to work. So those that are working, they are doing something. You need to compliment them, right? They may not be doing it to the best of their ability, but they are doing something, right? The ship is drowning, right? And for the drowning ship, all right, 1,000 passengers are drowning. And 1,000 is tried to save. It is about 700. So now if you look at it from the other end, hey, these 300 people, you lost them, you know, you caused it. 300 people, you drowned. So, all right, you shouting at us, what did you do? We tried at least, we tried to save the 700. We salvaged them. But what did you do? Apart from passing comments, apart from criticizing and running down, what else, what did you do? We tried, and we couldn't do to the best, but we saved at least 700. What did you do? So, this business of criticizing, running down, picking on people, it's a very easy thing. Our Qari Tayyib Rahmatullah used to say, that is about the easiest job in any institute, to run down someone. Because you don't have to be knowledgeable, you don't have to go through a proper course, you don't have to study to run down someone. Just find out something, whether it's false or whether it's true, and just publicize the thing, you've got the propaganda going around. So, to publicize, to run down someone, is about the easiest thing. Right? Now, what I'm getting at today is the respect of these people here, and where this thing is coming from, that we run down people. We want a little bit of pastime. Sometimes it's pastime, sometimes it's entertainment, because it's not related to our integrity. It's someone else's integrity. So his integrity is smashing down. Doesn't involve me. Right? So it's cheap. Now I speak to one person, that person will speak to the third person, and so forth and so on. To continue. So this aspect of respecting the self, those past ulama, or people that have passed on deen to us, really it is very, very dangerous. Very, very harmful, very dangerous. One person, he wrote something against Hazrat Maulana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah. And not long after that, his vision began to go. Quickly he wrote a letter, "Ma, I did this, you know. And as a result, my vision began to go. Please make me maaf. Please make dua for me. Please make me maaf." So when I wrote back, "Yes, sab oham ki baat. These are all just suspicions in your mind. Don't entertain those suspicions and doubt. Baki, you asked me to make dua. I'll make dua for you." He just asked for maaf, and that vision was restored. You see, that vision was restored straight away. So this is quite a dangerous thing, where we pick out at the elders or any person that is doing dini work. Maybe it's a tabligh jamaat that is coming now. Sometimes the tabligh jamaat, or most of the time, it's all recruits, new people coming in. Right? It's one to old people, one to old workers, and the rest of it is all new. They all are new. They're going to do something that may not be the best. They'll speak in some way. Be a new jamaat that's coming in. Someone is outside the masjid and is smoking. So we can't just go down and say, "Hey, you know, I came to make tabligh or smoke. What you came for? Make up your minds." So you didn't see where they came from. You are seeing where they're supposed to be. But you didn't see where they came from. They may have come from drugs or whatever else they may have come from. And the jamaat somehow just got them to cigarettes at least. From where they were, they brought them to this point here. Now, you want them to be coming at that level where you aren't. So appreciate what they are doing at least. And then if there is there is some wrong, you know, there is something wrong, at least, there is some wrong, something that you see is not right, and then there are elders of the jamaat. The elders of the jamaat, speak to them. "Okay, I see some wrong here, inconsistency. I see some weakness, trying to attend to it." There is a way how to do it. See, if it is, just for example, Allah Pak forbid, Allah save us all, right? If it was your daughter that got involved in some wrong habits, right? Entangled with some boy, or she's caught out with something, right? Will you go and advertise it in the whole world? You don't want to advertise it in the whole world. You will correct her. You will correct her in the confines of your home. You may discipline her. You may correct her. You may shout her, do everything, and correct her. But you're not going to advertise this. And if anybody tries, then you will smash him down. That you don't do this. It's a lie. It's a propaganda. Won't you do that? So, when your daughter means so much to you, These people are people of deen. So don't they have any value in your heart? If there is a value for your daughter, then obviously you must have a value for people that are doing some deen work as well. Show them that respect. So what I'm getting at is this respect. Furthermore, Tariq Salman Ahmed says that this respect of the self in the past is such a great thing that it's even greater than researching. You know, you're researching on Masla and all that. This is even greater than that. So because experience shows that when a person shows a lot of respect to them, uske andar tahqeeq ka shaan bhi paida ho jata hai. Then he gets that ability with that barakat of respecting, then he gets the ability to understand, reason, and see things correctly. With time, he begins to see things in perspective. Because in his tabiat, it is to respect, to adore, to look at them with esteem. Right? Gradually, he begins to see things differently. Now, his respect will then allow him to put things in perspective. Many a times, I noticed that I didn't know a thing, right? I didn't know a thing. Now too, we don't know. But we just get the understanding of it. We just get an understanding of the thing. And thereafter we see that this kitab has also got exactly the same thing what we're speaking about. So that is only on account of the respect of these elders. On account of the respect of these old elders, you begin to get that type of use, that type of barakat, that type of understanding. Understanding just flows because of that respect. So you see that respect that we show to them. Overall, when a person is respecting, right, it's not possible that he will not make a mistake. Maybe he stumbles, he makes a mistake. But overall, he's respecting. Allah Ta'ala, most cases, Allah Ta'ala forgives those small mistakes that he makes. Right? Because his niyat was right, he had that respect, he was aiming right. In the process, he made a mistake in his reasoning, in his understanding. Some mistake has taken place. So Allah Ta'ala overlooks those mistakes. The example for that is, in the Bani Israel, one person was approaching death. So he called his children. And he says to them, "What type of a father was I?" He said, "You are a very, very good father. Excellent in every respect. You seen to us very well. You spent upon us and you showed us a lot of kindness and affection." He said, "Well, then you see, this father of yours, he didn't do any good. All his life he lived in sin. So I bequeath you people that when I die, then burn my corpse, burn it out, and then smash it to pieces, powder, charcoal, and then smash it to pieces. And once you have smashed it to pieces, now wait for a windy day, and when there's a very windy day, then half the ash you can scatter it in the sea and half in the land. Because if Allah only gets hold of me, the way he'll break me up like he never hit anybody, the way he'll smash me, the way he'll punish me like he never punished anybody." So the children, man died, father's bequest, and they did like the father had said. Allah Ta'ala had commanded all that ash to be collected, resurrected him. "Why did you do this? Why did you do this?" He says, "Allah Ta'ala, only on account of your fear." So I said, "All right, go. I have forgiven you, go into Jannat." Now, if you look at this incident here, in isolation, this person felt that if he's going to be broken down and smashed down to powder, Allah Pak will not be able to resurrect him. So, he did not believe in the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, right? If you really analyze it, he did not believe in the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala as he ought to have believed. But the man's intention was right. He feared Allah Ta'ala. And out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, he said this. He did whatever he did. Right? Because the catalyst was right, the starting point was right, so Allah Ta'ala forgave him and he saw him through. See this respect. So whatever he did was out of respect also. the esteem that he's got, the love and the respect that he holds Allah Ta'ala in. You know. So that prompted him to do such a thing. But overall, Allah Ta'ala had forgiven him. In this age, we're seeing this becoming more and more common, where the junior doesn't see the need to respect the senior. The child is not respectful to his parents, right? Or his elders. He doesn't take cognizance of an elder. You know, when we were children, if there's an elderly person walking past, you know, doesn't have to be a cousin, relative, anybody. But you weren't allowed to walk in the presence of that elder with your hands in your pockets. That was like the law, that was the system. If there was even a Hindu, non-Muslim, right, then the system was at that time that you call him uncle. Right? And if it was a Muslim, you call him a chacha. Now everybody's uncle and everybody's auntie. But in that, when we were in our childhood, when there was a non-Muslim also, you'll call him uncle. And a Muslim, you'll call him chacha. So with that respect, now children are coming to the madrasa also, they'll be coming into the masjid, new boys, and they got their hands in their pockets. And they don't feel anything about it. They too take no cognizance of the presence of their elder. Some elder is there, no cognizance. Forget that, even the masjid. And now the respect has gone to such a level, that they'll wear that bag, what? Baggies, shorts, Bermudas. Yeah. They'll come to the masjid, t-shirt, no topi, nothing, like they came to a sports ground. And they don't feel anything about it. Then they'll sit and talk, someone is got his phone there in the one corner and is looking at that phone. So that respect of the masjid is gone. Now to undo that mind and to do it, what a big battle it is. Now to syringe all that wrong habits that he's got, to take it out, and then to correct that mind, it's such a difficult task. Whereas, I'm just explaining this in comparison, if that child had respect, right, it was very easy to mold that person. Just put him through some process. In a day's time, we would have showed him what the etiquette. And he would just comply straight away. And here, he would want to know why, what's wrong, but I didn't hurt anybody, so why can't I walk like that? And why can't I dress like that? And why it's my own phone? And why can't I use my phone? So he'll storm you up with 10 questions that why he can't do this and why he can't do this, why he mustn't do that. And in that first case where he had learned respect, it was very, very easy to just mold him. Just, it was like soft, like, you know, like wax. So you can give the mold to the person as you wish. One Sahabi, Munzir ibn Qais, I think that's his name. So he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a delegation. Around the 7th, 8th year, delegations began to pull into Medina Munawwara. People came accepting Islam, learning the basics and going back. So he came with a delegation of his people. And his people had seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, obviously they were overawed, and they all ran to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kiss his hand, and take the barakat, etc. But he himself, what he did was, because they had covered a long distance, so he took a bath, ghusl. Then he got his luggage, he took out a new pair of clothing, put on the new clothing, attar, whatever. Then he went to the masjid, performed 2 rakats of namaz, and then with a lot of respect, he met Hazrat Nabi Sassan. So Rasulullah applauded, came and applauded. Very happy. إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخَصْلَتَيْنْ يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهِ. That you have got 2 things in you Allah Pak loves. You've got 2 things in you which Allah Ta'ala also loves. One is that you've got hilm, endurance. Right? It was natural that someone that you love, someone that you respect, and you saw him, the moment you see him now, you want to run to him. Right? That's natural. But you tolerate this now. This is a personality. This is a great person now. How do I go and meet him? See? How do I go and meet him? See, it's like you're going to meet some of your elders, some mashayikh, whatever else, then it's not the right thing now. Now, you come to meet him, and the one corner of the masjid is sitting and reciting Quran Sharif. Rather, the moment he's finished, he must be there. Because now, he said, no, let me just end up. Even if it's 1 minute, that's not in keeping with respect. It's not in keeping with respect. If you long to meet him, that, you know, you're supposed to be longing to meet him, then the moment he's finished, that you must be there. Now he's waiting for you. This person is coming or not coming. He can't disregard you. He can't just... Right? And the fact is that you need him. When you need him, you need to show that need. Now you're covering it, you're completing your Quran Sharif, and then you're going up to him. Right? So, it's that misunderstanding. We don't have that understanding how to respect. Right? So if you had that regard for him, then no. Now this is the taqaza of that time. Are you sitting here, for example, I didn't complete some of my zikr. Now the kitab reading is started, or the talk is started, and I'm reading still. Now, you don't understand respect, you don't understand adab. The zikr for that time now is to listen. That's the zikr of that time. Because the mind cannot focus properly and correctly in two places at the one and the same time. لا يتوجه إلى شيئين في آن واحد. At one and the same time, then you can't focus. Then all your other wazifas, then you must postpone it, leave it some other time. Then you can't say, no, I must finish wazifa now. See, as a result of us not understanding etiquette, then we do these type of things. Mix up this with that, that with this, whatever else. Now we came to a place, right? So the right thing is, there is a senior in that place, we go and meet him first. We go and meet him. Like our children came home now, for example. Right? They came, say for example, after 5 days, 10 days, they came home. Right? Then they must be trained that first they can meet their parents, father, mother, whatever. They can meet them. Then they carry on the other business, whatever else they need to do, they will do that. But they came home, they just start whatever, eating, drinking, sleeping and all that. Then after an hour, 2 hours, then they go and meet their parents. Then this is not understanding sequence. They say, one, the Prime Minister had gone with his one of the ministers, you know, to London, they had gone. So they came across one gathering, there was one woman there, and everybody was amusing himself with that woman, you see. So this minister is a Sikh. Now Sikh a little bit dense, you see. So he said that everybody else is amusing himself, so I must also amuse myself. So he asked that woman that how many children you got? How many children you got? So she says, I got no children because I'm not married. So anyway, the Prime Minister shouted at him, you know, you must ask in tartib. The tartib is, you must ask, are you married? Then you must ask how many children. You don't ask how many children you got. Then you say, oh, you're not married. You must ask in tartib. The sequence is, you marry, then you got children. So he said, alright, now I got it now. So there was another gathering. In the next gathering, now he's asking that woman again, are you married? No. Now how many children you got? See? So it's stupidity. They can't reason. Some people can't reason. They've got positions, whatever else, but they can't understand. So what I'm getting at here is that these children are disciplined. They came home now. Now first they will meet their parents, talk to them a little bit with respect. I'm coming from here, whatever else. Now the parents also feel nice they came, and at least they showed their respect. Now they get into their business. It's all right. But they came after 1 hour, 2 hours, then they're coming to meet their parents. Like as though the parents were just a piece of furniture. There's no regards. So you see, it's the same now, same applies when you go to any place. Now you see an elder, you first meet the person. The Mizak, Pursi, whatever else, that formality, and thereafter we carry on with our business. Now he feels respected and he knows that there is someone here, right? So he needs to, he understands also, alright, there's some intizam that has to be done. Or if there's no intizam, at least, alright, he knows that this person is here as well. See? Otherwise, now everybody stays aloof in that regard, it's not right. Like you go home, if you didn't meet your wife for 20 days, that you'll do your business and then meet your wife, or first you meet her. Your brains will tell you that you're going to first meet her and then you do your work. There the brain's going to work very quickly. Very easy, the brain, when it comes to the wife, then all the adab is natural then. Naturally you learn the adab. But besides the wife, that nobody got a place in your heart. That's unfortunate today. You know, the hadith says that you'll keep your wife very close and your parents and all that, you'll distance them. This is what we're seeing today. The wife got a lot of place in the heart. And parents, everybody else, they don't have a place in your heart at all. So, naturally, if you're going home, then first you go and meet your wife, whatever you need to, show her some love, respect, you will do all that. I got this for you, whatever else. Then you will do everything else, whatever you need to do. So, like you would conduct yourself there, can't you use your brains in other areas as well? Can't we use our akal, can't we use our brains? So we're talking about this Munzir ibn Qais. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that فِيكَ الْخَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهِ. Two ways Allah Pak loves. One is you've got endurance. And the second, ina'a. In other words, you do things gradually, system. You don't rush into things. Alright, we appreciate these people that they showed their love. When they came in, they just showed their love straight away. But a higher level of respect is this. You come, when you're coming in the presence of a great personality, then how do you conduct yourself? What do you do? So, this small aspects of respect, they carry a lot of weight, You know, you just see that person and you feel affected for that person. You feel good for that person because of the respect that he's showing. The way he conducts himself, the word, choice of his words, how he behaves, how he sits down. Okay? And you just take a liking for the person, that this is how he conducts himself. But if he doesn't have adab, he doesn't have respect, then you don't have that regard for him. In the past, this thing was very much emphasized, Imagine Ibn Abbas, he's the first cousin of Nabi Sallam, straight, direct cousin of Nabi Sallam. But the respect that he showed to the Sahaba Kiram, once he's traveling with Umar radiyallahu anhu, and Umar radiyallahu anhu had to relieve himself. So he went to help. The old days now, you don't have, in the Safar, you don't have any proper provisions to him to help. So in that, he says to Umar radiyallahu anhu, you know, there's an ayat of the Quran Sharif, I want you to know the tafsir of it. Surah Tahrim, لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلْ إِن تَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. This ayat, who's it referring to? And then he says to Umar radiyallahu anhu, that I wanted to ask this question for over a year, but the respect that I have for you has prevented me from asking you for a year. Now his position is so great, is so close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but the respect that he's showing to Umar radiyallahu anhu prevents him from asking on Masla for over a year. See the respect. Now with that respect, what happened to Ibn Abbas? Now he becomes Bahrul Ulum. In the time of the Sahaba Ikram, he is known as the ocean of knowledge. That is in the time of Sahaba Ikram. And he is known and he is considered as the ocean. Here you'll see anybody, anything, let it carry on. So the type of respect, now you look at the person, what is he doing, will he appreciate this, is it the time, is it appropriate, must I say it, mustn't I say it, must I keep quiet at this time, what must I do at this time, how must I conduct myself, what will please him, what is in keeping with respect. So all these things here, Even if that elder needs correction, you will correct him. But how will you do it? As more time as I say that, one student, he was in about the third year or fourth year, and says, Master, I'm really impressed with this child here. His parents have taught him a lot of respect. He says, I was in the masjid, and I needed some change, so I sent someone, and that person brought it. So this dealing was taking place in the masjid. You know, giving 50 rands, and perhaps you want 10 rand notes, right? So it's a dealing, and dealings can't be in the masjid. It's a transaction, it's a dealing. The dealing can't take place in the masjid. Now, he saw that I was doing this. So he came and asked me, Bare Abba, is taras peso ka lendin masjid mein karna kaisa hai? But he says, they should call me Bare Abba. Right? Ke, peso ka lendin masjid ke andar karna kaisa hai? How is it to do money dealings in the masjid? So Mona realized what he was doing. Achha hua ke tune bataya. Lucky you asked this question here, because I had totally forgotten. I had stumbled. But I appreciate the way that you had conducted yourself. The child could have said in this way, itne bare alim hai, such a big alim, and you're doing money dealings in the masjid. Got no respect for the masjid. That could have been the approach. But now, how he approached the whole thing. So now I held that student in esteem. One thing. And he held the person in esteem. You hear of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, that famous incident of the three Sahaba kiram, Hilal ibn Umayyah, Ka'b ibn Malik, where they were boycotted for 50 days. And then the Tawbah is announced, and Ka'b ibn Malik comes into the masjid. And then the first person to stand up and meet him and greet him and give him that embrace, whatever, was Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. So Ka'b ibn Malik says, La ansahu li Talha. I'll never forget this warmth of Abu Talha. I won't forget it. That others also stood up afterwards, but he was the first person that came and embraced me, showed me the respect and all that. You see, this little bit of respect, love, regards, consideration. For that, we need to apply the brain first, alright? Is it the time? Is it appropriate? Will the person appreciate it, like it or not? Must I keep quiet at this time? Must I talk? Must I say something? Now, that all goes with thinking and understanding. But we just want to say something. Just someone, 2 cents, 3 cents. Just want to say it. And what happens is, we won't have that sense of pondering, reflecting, analyzing. We won't have it. But where we take all these aspects into consideration, then we do things. Then it's a different thing. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ Nabi Sallam is inside the house, and someone is shouting for him. So Allah Bak says that those people that are shouting from outside, most of them don't have brains. See that? What he's saying, most of them don't have brains. So Nabi Sallam is inside the house. He's such a busy man. Allah Pak himself says, "Inna laka fi nahari sabhan tawila." All day you're occupied. Now he's just gone into the house. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. So he's got so much of occupations, right? He'll have his family, some family time, some rest time to get his things right, food, whatever else. And now you don't give the man that type of time to unwind. That means you don't have brains. You don't have understanding. The right thing was now let him unwind, let him rest. When he's composed again, he came off himself. Now you went and met him. Now, that's a dignified approach. But this is a very undignified approach. So Allah Ta'ala grant us that respect, that consideration, warmth for people, for our elders especially. Not only for the wife. I don't say now sometimes people do it to the extremes. You know, as Mona spoke about the parents and family, so now I've been doing this for the wife now, just throw her aside now, I must do it for my parents. Now don't go to the other extreme. You show the respect to the wife also, but show respect to these people as well. Where there is a distance, it's your parents, it's your uncle, it's a family, and you need to maintain, obviously. So you can't meet them, then at least telephone, at least tell them, Let it be a brief story. I just phone up to take your doors. I'm feeling well. I'm here, enjoying myself, thinking of you all. So it's your father, it's your mother, it's some elder in the family. But now, how much they appreciate that one call? Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb Kareem.